2023. And I want to just encourage, this message is very, very simple. And it's just to encourage us to get into the Word of God, into the Bible, to encourage us to know who we are in Christ, that everything, even our calendar, revolves around Jesus Christ. It's based on the birth of Jesus. BC is abbreviation for what? Before Christ. It's used to show years and centuries that come and go. And then after Christ is what? AD. And what does AD stand for? Very good. Which means what? The year of our Lord. You're a good Catholic boy, aren't you? That's right. So the year of our Lord is 2023. That's how our calendar revolves around that. Like, for instance, Caesar was assassinated 44 BC, which means what? He is dead, Greg Schmidt. Okay, so you can see from our calendar that Jesus Christ is very important to our world, even our holidays, which actually it's holy days. Holidays means holy days. What's the next holiday that we celebrate? New Year's. And then the next holy day. What's the next? What? I was going to say Easter, but you're right. It can be another Catholic. Yes, I knew somebody was going to say Saint Valentine's Day, and of course it would be Greg Schmidt. Okay, another good Catholic boy. Okay, so anyway, Valentine's Day is really not a Christian holiday. If you look it up, it's rather pagan. In fact, one of the traditions about Valentine's Day was, as I looked this up because I found it kind of interesting, they would cut up goats in strips, and then they would take the strips with the blood and they would hit virgin women with them, and that was to help produce fertility. Yeah, that's weird. Anyway, so our next holy day is actually Easter, right? So we're going to celebrate, we just celebrated Jesus's birth, and now we're going to celebrate his death coming up. So, like I said, this is a very simple message because I am a very simple person. So, what is between Christmas and Easter? We got the birth, we got the death. What's in between for us? Just a lot of life, right? Seriously, just a lot of life. From the time Jesus was born until his resurrection, there's just a lot of life. And what is it for us? From the time we were born, from the time that we die, what's in there? Just a lot of life, right? And you know what? Have you ever been invited to a birthday party? It's usually because you know that person, right? And how much you know them, I don't know. That depends on the relationship, right? So we've all been invited to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. How well do we know Jesus Christ? That is a question I want you to kind of tuck in your head. How well do I know Jesus? If you go to someone's funeral, it's usually because you know them or you know someone in the family and you go to support that person, or you may go to their funeral to show them respect and honor. Lots of people went to Queen Elizabeth's funeral, right? And the majority of them probably didn't know her, probably had never met her. They went to show her their respect. So not very many people knew her on a personal level, and even less probably had an inheritance from Queen Elizabeth. But none of that is true with Jesus Christ, if you think about that. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 9:6 that unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And also Jesus said at the end of his life, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you with me. He said that at the end of his life. And that's in John 14:13. And why did Christ die for us? He died for our sins, right? I just want you to think about this. Just kind of giving a recap, because sometimes we forget what sins are. And it's very, like, here's the Ten Commandments, which we don't really talk about the Ten Commandments much. In fact, our country's taken the Ten Commandments down in a lot of our public places. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Some of us can say, well, I've never broken a Ten Commandment. Good for you, because I have. And I am thankful for the blood of Jesus that saves and forgives us. There's not just the Ten Commandments, but there's also the laws in the Old Testament. The laws were very, very tedious. If you've ever taken the time to read them, which I encourage you to do sometime, they are so tedious, and you're like, who could keep these laws? Absolutely no one. And the law was only given for one reason, to show us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. Because none of us are perfect, and God is a perfect God. And Jesus came that we can have a relationship with that perfect God. That's why the law was given to us. We also have laws in our own country, in our cities, in our towns. We even have laws for driving. Some of us don't always think about these laws, these Ten Commandments. We think God may be ancient or the Bible doesn't apply to us. But these laws and these rules and laws that we have do affect us. We have these laws to keep us safe, to protect our families, to protect our property. Sometimes we scoff at these laws until they affect us. Like if you get into a car accident, we have lots of laws when we drive, right? Stay in the right lane in America. You stop at the red light. You yield at the yellow. At least you're supposed to. I don't always do that one. But anyway, we should yield to stop. There's a speed limit, which I break that one too. Craig never, hardly ever breaks it. I did this morning. I'm like, how fast are you going? But anyway, we have all these laws, and we scoff at them. I scoff at them sometimes. I'm like, 25? What? That's way too slow. Until there's an accident. Until somebody has to pay for the damages for the cars. Then I want to know who broke the law. Not me, I hope. But anyway, we want to know who broke that law, don't we? Because we want to know who's going to be responsible for the damage done to our car, or the damage done to our person, or the damage done to the people that are in our car. So we all have laws. We have instructions and manuals too. We have lots of manuals throughout life. And then God gives us laws, and God gives us instructions too. So Jesus came to pay the debt for sin so that we could have a way to the perfect Father. Jesus also left us an inheritance. An inheritance. Queen Elizabeth left her family an inheritance, right? You'd have to be in that family to get that inheritance. And even then, if you don't know what is in the will, if you don't apply it, if you don't know it and how it's dispersed and how you're supposed to get it, it's no good to you, is it? It's no good to you at all. But Jesus has left us an inheritance better than the inheritance the Queen Elizabeth left to her family. I wasn't there. I wasn't invited to the reading of that will, which I don't understand that. But so I don't really know what was in her will. However, we are invited to the reading of Jesus's will and his testament. That's what a will and testament is. Your will is your last testament. Jesus left a will and testament for us, the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's called the Bible. It's called the Good News. It's called the Old and the New Testament. It's called the Gospel of Christ. And we already mentioned, you don't get what's in that will unless you know that something's been left to you. How much has been left to you? What's been left to you? Maybe it's property. Maybe it's a car. You don't know. And you don't know if it's all yours or what until you read it and then you act on it. And that's what the Bible is all about. Knowing what is in the will and testament of Jesus Christ for each of us. What's in there for us? My sister and I just got done finishing a 2-year Bible plan on the Bible app. You know, we read it, and today's the last day. And I got to tell you, it didn't do a whole lot for me. I'm glad I did it. I mean, it's kind of like sometimes the Old Testament and the New Testament would they'd work really well together, and that would be really eye-opening and really good. But sometimes I just didn't get a lot out of it. I really like reading the Bible on paper, on page, where you can see it. And you can stop and you can pause. You're going to get much more out of it than listening to. I mean, sometimes I'll listen to the Bible, like maybe I'll listen to a whole book while I'm driving or something like that. I get a lot out of that too. But I really believe that there's more to the Bible than just listening to it on an app or something. We need to have our Bibles open. We need to read them. We need to know them. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, I read that book, I just devoured it, I couldn't put it down? Have you ever read a book like that or heard someone say that? What they're meaning is they ate it up, they couldn't put it down. You've ever been around a baby that's so cute, and what do you say? You're just so cute, I want to eat you up. Have anybody ever said that? Or you take their little toe and you put it in your mouth and you pretend like you're eating it, and the baby giggles, and it's so much fun, right? Anyway, those things are, God said, eat my word, eat my body. Just put that in your head. Jesus said, eat my body when we have communion. The other night, Aaron cooked for us. He cooked us a wonderful chicken curry dinner. It was so delicious. We couldn't stop oohing and aahing about it. We were so thankful. It's always so great to have someone else cook for you. Especially when it's really good, and it was really good. We were very, very happy about that. You know what else was really cool about that is that he wanted to cook for us. When you think about it, Jesus did all these things for us, and he wanted to do this for us. All we did was sit down to a meal that was prepared for us. And all we do with the Bible is open it up, and it's prepared for us. He also wanted to share that because it's one of his favorite recipes. He didn't just say, hey, I got a good recipe, you should try it. He cooked it. He did the work. He presented it. It was really good. And all we had to do was enjoy it. Now, here's the other thing. Because he told me how he did it, after he ate, because he really wanted to eat too, but after he ate, he told me how he did it. And then he gave me the physical recipe, and it was really good. So here's the thing. Aaron's going back to Michigan where he lives, and if I want chicken curry again, at least that recipe, I'm going to have to what? Make it myself, right? And because I know how he did it, the ingredients and how he put it together and all those different things, like he said, saute the peppers and the onions, and then you put in the garlic, and then, you know, with some olive oil, and then you take those out and you wipe the pan out. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't have done that. I probably would have thrown everything in together. So there was a very specific way. And if I want to have that same chicken curry, I'm going to have to do it that way. And that's the way the Word of God is too. If we want to see someone else's results, we can have what somebody else has if what's in the Bible, if we do it the way God says to do it. And it's going to be different how we reach it, but it's there for us. It is there for us. Jesus said in John 6:54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. What does that mean to eat my flesh? Hasn't that ever been kind of strange? You think that's so weird. You know, I'm having communion and Jesus says, eat my flesh, eat Jesus's body. Well, in 1 John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John, who wrote 1 John, is introducing Jesus as the Word of God. The Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. That's who we're made in God's image. We're made in God's image. God is wanting us to devour the Word of God, to eat the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. At least that's what I got out of it. Maybe somebody else has got a better revelation of that than I do, and that's fine. But for me, I got that. That's what God is wanting me to do. And Jesus says, eat my body, eat my Word, devour the Word of God, like you would devour that good novel or that good recipe. Devour my Word of God. He's given us the instructions on how to read it. Read it in the morning, read it at night, meditate on it. He's given us that Word. And here's this illustration. When I was hanging out with Bonnie last week, and she shared, and I already talked to her about this, so she said I could share her revelation. But I loved it because I love it when people share what they get out of the Word of God. And she had said she'd been meditating on, do not let your heart be troubled. And that's, everybody, we know that, right? And it's easy to sit here and say, do not let your heart be troubled until your heart's troubled. And then it's a different story, isn't it? And she said she'd been thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about that. That, to me, that's meditating. That's what God says to do about his Word. You meditate on the Word of God. Those are the instructions. You meditate on the Word of God. And as she was meditating on it, she said it came to her, the revelation that God showed her, because she knew the Word of God. God had shown her, hey, sit down and make a list of the things that are troubling you. It seems so elementary, but she did that. And she's looking at her list and she's like, well, I can do that. I can do that. So she began to set herself to doing what she could do. And the rest that she couldn't do, she allowed God to take care of. Because the next scripture says, cast your cares on the Lord. You don't carry a burden. We cast our cares on the Lord. But I loved that illustration. Bonnie has been a Christian for a super long time. And if you want somebody to pray, Bonnie is a wonderful prayer warrior because she knows that Word of God. And that Word of God will come up when we need it. And we still have to meditate on it. Did I miss anything? Okay, good. Glad. Let's see here. The other thing about Aaron cooking that curry is that's about, what, the third time you made that recipe? And every time he makes it, I'm sure you're getting more confident in it, aren't you? Yeah. He's getting more confident, and the more confident you're getting, I'm assuming you want to share it more. You felt confident cooking for us, yeah. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. The more we know the Word of God, the more we know Jesus, the more confident we get in sharing with others. If we're not sharing the Word of God or our Christian faith, or if we feel uncomfortable, we need to check up, how well do I know the Word of God? Because if I'm not sharing and I'm not feeling comfortable with it, that just means I really don't know God. That was our first song we sang today. I want to know you more. If we want to know God more, we got to know his Word. I mean, once again, this is so simple. It's just encouraging all of us to start 2024 with the Word of God daily, no matter how small it is, no matter if it's one scripture and you just keep looking at it over and over. I think I've gotten more out of the Word of God reading it that way than opposed to listening to the Bible app for 2 years going through the whole Bible. I mean, all that is kind of a brag thing. I didn't get a whole lot out of it until I sit down and study and eat and devour the Word of God for myself. And the other thing that is really helpful is start where you're at. What is going on in your life that you need? Are you stressed out about money, a relationship, health? Whatever it is, find that scripture in the Bible and study it. You know, nowadays it's so easy to look things up. You can just Google a word and find the scripture. You can Google a word and find out the Greek or the Hebrew meaning. You can Google a word and find the meaning in a dictionary. Years ago, we used to go to the back of our Bible and look up like sad or angry or, you know, whatever the word was. And then we'd look at all those scriptures. Then we'd look them up. At least I would do that. I'd look them up and I'd write them out and I'd dissect them and I'd get my dictionary out and do all that. And we had a big book about like this called a Strong Concordance. And you could look up the Greek and the Hebrew out of the Strong Concordance. And that was awesome too. And there's all kinds of other ones. There's vines. And I mean, when I would study the Word of God, I mean, I had books around me. I loved it. Anyway, I'm just encouraging you guys to get into that Word of God because there's so much. Here's another thought. If I tell Aaron, hey, Aaron, I think a cup of Captain Crunch cereal should go in that curry. I know that Captain Crunch cereal goes in curry. I heard it once, and I think you should put that Captain Crunch cereal in there. What do you think he's going to say? Yeah. Yeah, rightfully so, he would. He'd tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about, and I wouldn't. Even though Captain Crunch is my favorite cereal of all times, I love to get a big bowl of it, put a lot of milk in it, keep eating the cereal, and if there's still milk, we got to pour more cereal in. You know, I don't do that a lot because, oh, it's so good. Anyway, what if I tell Aaron, you really don't need that curry base? No, we don't need that ingredient. You don't need that. That's okay. You can just put milk in there. It'll be fine. If he leaves that ingredient out, is it still curry? Is it still chicken curry? No. How many times do we do that with the Bible? Well, I heard it. Well, just because you heard it may not make it right until you get in there, you look at the instructions, you look at the recipe and find out what belongs in it, what doesn't belong in it. And once you have it, no one can take that away from you. I cannot convince him what belongs in his chicken curry recipe. It's his chicken curry recipe that came from his stepmom, right? And it is so good. I already said that, didn't I? Yes. And God says in Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what will happen when we spend time in the Word of God. We're going to taste it. We're going to devour it. We're going to see that God is good. He knows us and he knows all about us and he knows what we need. It's so easy. And sometimes we don't do the easy because we think, oh, I'll do it later. You know, I got time for that later. And we don't do it. Anyway, that is the end of my message. So once again, I'm just really encouraging all of us to get our Bibles out, to read them physically every day and see what you come up with. And when you're with your friends, I loved it. Bonnie goes, hey, can I share a revelation I got? That is iron sharpening iron. That's what the body of Christ is for. So with that, we're going to dismiss. I'm going to close. I'm going to pray over everybody and speak a blessing over you, okay? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for your last will and testament for us, that it is a living will and testament, and that you have wonderful things inside of it for us, everything. God, your Word says that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, that the promises of God are yes and amen, that you are always for us. You are never, ever against us. You love us with an everlasting love. I pray, God, that you stir up the hunger within each one of us here to read our Bibles, to meditate on the Bible, to study it, to speak it out, just like when somebody has a will, we don't know what's in that will and we don't know what we're supposed to do with it until we act on it. Help us to act on your words, speaking it out of our mouth, because that's where the power is speaking it into our life. And the Word says it does not return void, but it accomplishes what it was sent to do. We thank you for that. God, I pray for a blessing over every family here. financially, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. I pray for those that are in school. Give them the mind of Christ. I pray for young people, for children, that you direct their footsteps. Their footsteps are ordered by you, God. I ask that you would send your angels to go forth, to accompany, preserve, and protect them in all their ways of obedience. I pray for the older generation, God, that we would walk in the plan and the purpose that you have for us right up till the last, that we live until we die. Every day is precious to you. We pray for families, that you unite them, bind them together in cords that cannot be broken.